This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. 401 here in New York City. We're until 7 o'clock. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you. Hope you're having a good time with us. And now we'll have some fun with our good friend Joe Fortenbaugh. He will be on the Daily Wager tonight on ESPN. That's at 6 p.m. And then his daily radio show, Joe and Amber, that's from 7 to 9 on the ESPN radio national platform. And Joe joins us now. Joe, how you doing?
Fellas, I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me on this show. MLB starting tomorrow. I'm sure you guys are excited, but the rule changes are what we're focused on out here in Las Vegas. We think we see some opportunities. I'd imagine you might want to get into that first.
All right, let's talk about that. What could you be looking at rule change-wise? Time of game?
Most important thing from a betting perspective is the elimination of the defensive shift. The mindset here is that you might want to lean more towards overs early in the season. Books haven't really adjusted the prices. In fact, we're going to talk about this on Daily Wager today, but the average total, the average over-under for opening day is one of the lowest we've seen in quite some time. With the rule changes favoring steals, which we believe there will be more steals this year, as well as more runs because of the elimination of the defensive shift, I'm thinking that overs might be the way to look early in the season, especially with so many aces on the mound tomorrow. You've got these suppressed totals, these low over-unders. I think we might see more scoring than people realize.
So it's so weird, though. More scoring, but the games will be shorter. Like, that just seems like it doesn't make sense, right? If there could be more runs, wouldn't the games be longer? Even with the pitch clock?
Certainly counterintuitive. I think when you're looking at the pitch clock and when you're looking at the rule where you can only throw over to first base three times, or any base for that matter three times, you're going to want to focus on lefty pitchers versus righty pitchers. Lefties having that advantage in throwing over to first. They're facing it. They're not necessarily going back across their body. They have a better chance of picking the runner off. Those are angles you want to be looking at early in the season. Yes, though, that does sound counterintuitive. More runs and timing being down. We've seen timing down in spring training. We'll see how it plays out tomorrow.
All right, let's talk about over-unders in terms of wins. What jumps out at you?
So I'm sure we'll want to get into the Yanks and Mets at some point. I'd say the first team that jumps out to me that I have several wagers on is the Cleveland Guardians, okay? Their win total is 86.5. I've got the over on them. I've got them winning the AL Central. I've got futures on them in the AL and the World Series. That doesn't mean they're going to win. I just like the prices.
How are the prices?
Looking around, 11-1 in the AL, 25-1 to win the World Series.
Okay.
They should benefit pretty well from the new rule changes. They're one of the best defensive teams in baseball, but they didn't have to utilize the shift all that much last year. And when you look at their rankings in terms of base running and steals, they've already been ahead of the curve. So I think they're one of the teams that stands to benefit greatly from these rule changes based on the way they've played in the past. That's one of the teams I'm looking at. I also think in the AL Central, you want to play the under on the White Sox. It's sitting around 83.5. A lot of the projections I've talked to, or guys who project this for a living, have them high 70s, maybe 79, 80 wins, not expecting a big year from the White Sox.
You know, just real quick, because I know you weren't prepared to talk football, but just as you were talking over-unders, we were shocked that the Jets over-under is just 9.5. Were you?
Shocked as in you're saying it's too high or too low?
That I think it's too low. If Aaron Rodgers is going to be their quarterback, I think he's going to be worth more than just 3 wins from last year.
Okay, so that's a great point. I would say the first thing people are going to look at is the division. Buffalo is still viewed to be a very tough out. Miami's a team that's on the rise in the eyes of the bookmakers. Jets obviously on the rise. And then New England, while they're bringing up the rear, you look at all the basement dwellers in the NFL, that's a team that's probably considered the best of all the basement dwellers, or at least one of the more formidable teams based on what they bring to the table defensively. So 9.5, I mean, I could see why you'd want to go over there. 10 wins is a big jump. It's going to be a tougher schedule, but if Rodgers is the quarterback and he's bought all the way in, I mean, you're not getting to 10 wins. You're probably feeling like that's a major disappointment.
All right, let's get back to the over-under with the Yankees and the Mets. The number, and what do you think it's good for, over or under?
So the Yanks open around 94.5. It dips a bit to 93.5. I've seen some projections that have them down around 91, 92, which is interesting to me because they underperformed. If you go through some of the advanced metrics like run differential, they underperformed by about 7 wins last year, and they were a really good baseball team. So you add 7 wins on, they're north of 100. They would have had a really great season, even though they already did have a good season. So now we're looking at the projections this year. It feels a bit low. I think there are a few people I trust in the business that lean to the over there. Others have it bang on. I think if you're looking for a futures play on the Yanks, the most popular one out there is Anthony Volpe to win American League Rookie of the Year. Kid was 25-1 not too long ago. Now he's sitting 5-1. So he's not the favorite. He's right in the conversation, but that's been one of the most popular bets in Vegas is Anthony Volpe to win Rookie of the Year. I also think if you're looking for a future, Severino to win Cy Young is like 65-1. Now, I know a lot of people look at Garrett Cole. They'll look at DeGrom coming over. They'll say, how the hell can you bet Severino? 65-1, given what his upside is, that's a good price relative to the market. So yeah, I'd be looking at something like that.
Joe, I think you'd be setting fire to your money. He's not going to pitch the first month of the season.
That's why we're getting a good price on it. That's why we're getting a good price on it. We're not going to have
you could get a great price on Don LaGreca winning the Cy Young. He's not going to win it.
Very fair point.
But why does the limited time hurt you that much if you're fantastic when you're back? It's the first month. It's baseball. There's 19 months in the season.
All right, so you're going to miss five starts out of 32. So that puts you to 27 right there. There's going to be a ramp-up part. I mean, he's not going to – if he goes 27-0, yeah, he'll win the Cy Young Award. But other guys are going to have great seasons too.
Right.
So I think that month is going to cost him. All right, how about the Mets?
And the other downside there you have to figure is we're hoping he doesn't get injured again later in the season because we're already starting in a tough spot. Mets are sitting in the same spot. They opened right around 94.5. They've dipped down to 91.5. So we've seen some money on the under there. Projections put them right around 89. I don't know what to make of them. I know a lot of people see them as the favorite in the NL East. I think it's the Braves. The Braves are priced to win the league. I think the Dodgers are down this year. If you're looking for a price in the NL West, it's the Padres. I haven't really found anything pro-Met that I've been willing to bet. You know, Alonso's sitting out there at 9-1 to lead the Major League Baseball on home runs. That's an interesting one. Judge is up there as the favorite at plus 450. I think you got to pass on that overall just because of the pricing. It's not to say he's not going to have a solid year, but based on what we saw last year, that's factored in. I mean, you're just paying the tax on that.
Is it worth throwing my hat in the ring for a Scherzer or a Verlander Cy Young?
I have nothing on that in terms of me wanting to be on or against it. I don't think it's the end of the world if that's a play you want to make in the National League. If you're looking for just a random bet, Jazz Chisholm is 20-1 to lead the NL in steals. I think that's a hell of a bet right there. I think that should be a lot closer to 7-1 or 8-1. So I'll throw the random one right back at you.
All right, give me Final Four stuff. What are you looking at for the two games on Saturday?
Laying the 5.5 with UConn, I also think the game goes under 149.5. It's priced for scoring, but UConn's defense has just been unbelievable. Four tournament games, they're holding the opposition to just 59 points per game. They have been fantastic. They defend the three-point line well. They're really solid in transition. I think they're going to jam Miami up a little bit when it comes to getting to the rim and working in the mid-range. So I'm going to go ahead and lay it with UConn. I mean, you look at what they've done in the second half of these games, fellas. That's coaching. They're beating the opposition in the second half by an average of 17 points per game. That's only 20 minutes of basketball. That's Gonzaga. That's Arkansas. That's St. Mary's. Those aren't rollovers. So I'm looking at that there. Right now, it's a slight lean to San Diego State minus the 2. They have a great ability to run teams off the three-point line. Teams that shoot high volumes of threes, teams that make a lot of threes. Think Alabama. They crushed them in that game. That's what FAU wants to do. They want to bomb the three. They want to knock down threes. They can't do that, and San Diego State drags down that tempo. I think that favors the Aztecs. So that's where I'm going to be on both favorites.
Now, Vegas, I want to see if this is right, what I read. They book more money on the final, the March Madness than any other event?
Yeah, because, I mean, think about how many games you're dealing with. With the Super Bowl, you've got the one game and all the props, and people will load up. But when you have two monster weekends in a row, then you've got the Final Four and the championship on top of it, they're going to book a hell of a lot of action on that.
And, I mean, and maybe I'm an idiot, but Vegas should have absolutely cleaned up on this tournament, right?
From what I understand, they've been doing quite well. Yeah, you had so much chalk. I mean, it's the first time we didn't see a one make it to the Elite Eight. We've got no twos. We've got no threes. Future-wise, I don't hold a whole lot of liability. UConn would be the only team I think they'd be worried about because that team did have some love coming in. But it was 15-1, 17-1 pre-tournament. I can't believe they have a whole lot of Florida Atlantic 300-1 tickets out there.
Oh, my God.
Joe, great stuff. Daily Wager tonight at 6 p.m. Then Joe and Amber, 7 to 9 on ESPN Radio Network. We thank you, as always, for coming on. Always
thanks,
fun.
Man.
Hey, I got to throw it out there. Peter, I'm taking the boys to WrestleMania this weekend. Don't big time me. We're coming by for a picture.
Whoa. Oh, I would love to do that. Do you know where you're sitting yet?
It's close to the ring from what I understand. Oh, wait, Joe Formball likes this,
man, this man is well-connected or very rich or both.
Good friends. It's good friends, not certainly not rich. Good friends.
Please, I'll have Anthony give you my number. Please reach out. Love to see you.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, fellas. Best of luck to everyone out there with opening day.
Joe, 1 second.
Yeah.
Are there any bets available on WrestleMania? Now, I know that they're talking about betting on scripted wrestling, but is there anything that you could bet on with WrestleMania?
So I believe there is an initiative for a few states that want to be able to take WWE action. It's always going to be limited, obviously, because of the potential for knowing the outcome. So you're never going to be able to get a big wager down. In America, at licensed books, no as of right now, but there are offshores that do ever offer opportunities to bet. I've seen 5 or 6 matches that are posted. The odds will if you want to be surprised, don't go look at the odds.
Yeah, that's
kind of leads
problem.
To who's going to win.
Right. That is the real killer, is that you'll see the smart money come in, and then all of a sudden you basically know everything that's happening.
Good
Just
stuff,
Joe. Just wrestling money. I love it.
Thanks.
Thanks, Joe.
All right, boys. Have a good one.
All right. Yeah, I wonder if like a gambler kidnapped you. Do you know the results of the matches?
No chance. I give you my picks based on knowing how they generally operate.
So Vince doesn't run it by you before?
It's interesting. Well, no. No one runs it by me. Triple H, I get nothing. I just show up and
Tony Khan doesn't give you a little
Well,
ring?
Tony Khan owns AEW.
Yeah.
Nick Khan is the brilliant man at
That's
WWE.
Right. Tony Khan.
Yeah, nobody runs it by me.
Oh, that's sad.
Now, how many people are in the know?
Let's see. It depends, because different writers work on different stories. So they may not know, like for example, the main event of the whole weekend is Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns on Sunday night. My guess is very few people know the result of that match. I mean,
do the writers make money?
No, they all volunteers.
No, no. Do they make bigger money than Peter Rosenberg?
I don't know. I have no idea. Okay. I'm sure the top ones, the couple who are really the most important, I'm sure do very, very well.
Because I think I could write stuff very well.
I absolutely am sure you could not.
Really?
No.
All you do is incorporate would you into the stuff.
You're angry that The Undertaker comes back over and over again.
That bothers me. I would have more realistic wrestling.
Right. It would just be like an actual fight.
All right.
No story.
Now, our producer on the Yes Side, Anthony Greek.
Love him.
Rings in a little bit too late for Would You Wednesday, but I want to add it because it's so good.
All right. Let's.
Would you rather know the date of your death or the cause of your death?
Date.
Really?
No. I'd rather know cause.
Well, can you do anything? Hold on. If you find out cause, can you fix it?
No.
So wouldn't you rather know how much time you have?
Because what if you don't like the answer?
Yeah. What if it's quite finite and it's done?
Well, then
the cause of your death could go for years and years and years.
But here's the thing: if you know that it's next week, wouldn't that change how you live the next week? If you find out it's going to be an awful way and you don't know when, there's nothing you can do. The time information affects how you can live your life.
But plus, the knowledge of what kills you can change the outcome. Are you going to get hit by a car? Well, don't leave the house.
What if you can't affect it, though? No matter what, it's happening.
Yeah, can't affect it. That's the way.
So you just have
die.
To fear it your whole life every day, then?
Yeah, but...
I'm good.
What is it, going to car going to drive through my house?
Well, could
what
be.
The point is you can't, all right, Don? You can't. But if you find out it's going to be an awful drowning situation, right? Like a total nightmare from hell. You want to just know that one day it's happening and have no idea when? I'd rather just find out, God forbid, they say it's going to be on this day down the line, and you know that.
Yeah, but if that day is, 2056, then that's good. If it's tomorrow.
Right.
But so he's saying he wants to know the day.
But that's the thing, because, Don, if you find out it's 2056, great. If you find out it's 2027, then I have to operate differently.
I'm going to go nuts.
Oh, what?
You wouldn't even get married, would you?
I'd get married, but I might tell, Natalie, we're going to have to change the way we operate here a bit.
Interesting.
I'm just kidding. I wouldn't do that.
No, you might.
I'm good. No, I'm good. I'm good.
Did you ever see the movie Time Machine? It's an awful movie. I wanted to ram my head through a brick wall during it.
I've seen one.
But one of the cool things about it is he creates the time machine because his fiance dies. So he wants to create the time machine to go back to the moment she dies to save her.
Who is he?
The actor?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Really an awful movie. No, please don't.
Call him Jabroni Pumpkin.
I know. I mean, they all did a good job. It wasn't for me. Because you know what? I don't want a time machine where they go ahead
30,000 years and the world's in cinder block. I don't want to do
that. I love a cinder block.
So what happens, Don?
Every time he went back, she died a different way because it was her time.
Sounds like Everything Everywhere All at the Same Time, whatever the hell it's called.
Let's go back to the phones.
There's an element of that. By the way, speaking of which, real quick, since we're talking about the important stuff, did any of you guys watch the Sandler Mark Twain Award?
Not yet. I've DVR'd it. I have not.
I got to tell you.
Good?
There's some great stuff on there.
Really?
Rob Schneider does this song for him. It is tremendous. Tear jerking up a storm.
Really? Schneider. Schneider brought tears.
Schneider brought tears.
Like garden chicken fingers.
That's exactly right.
He was weep-worthy.
Weep-worthy.
I'm in a bad way with TV right now.
What's going on? Talk to us.
Rabbit ear snap?
Last week, it's going to be hard to say this. Last week, Cozy TV dropped Quincy. It's gone. And it's sad.
You can't find it anywhere.
No, you go to next showing and you get eggs. And I just watched the last one on the DVR this morning.
Seen enough. You know what?
Replaced by Little House?
Come on.
Little House on the Prairie is underrated, but
it's a big
show.
You and I
pull some resources and buy them the full DVD set of Quincy.
You would think that wouldn't be that
not the
expensive.
Same. It's not the same.
It's not the same.
There's
on,
no commercials on the DVDs.
Yeah, but there's something just the randomness of what episode is it going to be. No, I don't.
You just pull a DVD out.
I'm not going
DVD
into the, what is this, 2003? I'm not going into the DVD player. Not doing it.
Is it hooked up still?
It is.
Really?
And Anthony looked it up, $140. And you know what? After signing a massive deal, I'm going to do it myself.
That's really nice.
Yeah.
But what, maybe Don will sign his massive deal and he can buy it for himself.
But he said that it doesn't do the same thing for him.
He just wants it on the TV.
Yeah. Well, hey, Cozy, step up, man. Let's go to Eric in Manhattan.
It hurt.
Hey, guys. How's everybody doing?
Good. How
good
are you?
Yourself?
Great. Waiting to hear that Yes intro music tomorrow, Michael. Can't wait. Listen, I'm a data scientist for one of the big four accounting firms. And I got to tell you, after being a baseball fan and working with numbers, I have to say statistics are based on, you know, math. They're proven. Analytics do not have a basis for them. So all the time when you hear people say, you know, well, the analytics say this, the analytics say that, it's not always accurate. You know, can you quantify how much sleep, you know, a guy gets or how nervous they are at the plate, you know, et cetera. I guess what I'm curious about is how do you think the game was when it was just statistics versus this new age of analytics?
Well, just statistics? I mean, you're making the argument that a lot of old-time people in the game argue about. You don't know. This guy's numbers might say start him today, but the manager actually knows that he's been having a running argument with his wife and they're considering getting divorced and he really shouldn't be on the mound. Or the manager knows this guy was out till 6 in the morning last night pounding beers and he really shouldn't be the guy I bring in here. So that there is no quantification for that. There's just not.
No,
but then if you talk to the analytic people, Don, they'd say all of that is taken into account.
How could it?
Well,
how can there be a numeric value to someone having trouble at home?
Don't know.
See, I don't have a problem. When Davey Johnson took over the Mets in 84, they made a big deal about how he had computers
computer.
And numbers.
Yeah.
Like, analytics have always been there.
It's just
for whatever
in your
reason,
face
over
now.
The last few years, it's become it's an occult now. It's their way of life. And to me, it's just lazy and gutless. Because that you don't have to answer to anything. It's over. There's no debate anymore. I'm right. You're wrong. Go to hell. That's what they're saying.
Mm.
Doesn't matter. You were wrong there. You lost the game. Yeah, but 65% of the time I'm right. I'd do it again. You joke. You laugh at me. I'd do it again. That's what the analytic people say.
Oh, yeah.
I'd do it again.
If it doesn't work, I'll do it again. Now, I've got something right here that Jack Curry just tweeted out. Peter and Don, you will fall in love with Anthony Volpe after this.
Okay.
Honestly. Ready?
Jack Curry tweets, before Anthony Volpe agreed to wear number 11 with the Yankees, he called Brett Gardner, who last wore number 11, and asked for Gardner's blessing.
And now how do you feel? How do you people feel?
According to Joe Bick, Gardner's agent, Gardner gave Volpe his full approval and wished him all the best with 11.
Class.
Classy on both ends.
Yeah, class.
All class.
He's your new favorite Yankee, isn't he, Don?
Yeah.
He's right there at the top. He's not Jeter. I mean, I'm... Judge. But he's a lovely man.
That's really a nice thing to do.
Fantastic. Unnecessary.
And also to get it like that.
He seems to clearly get this thing.
Also, he grew up rooting for Brett Gardner.
Mm-hmm.
Grew up a Yankee fan, so he understands Brett Gardner and that he was on the 2009 Yankees. I think that's a really great move. Does it satisfy all you people that screamed in the first hour of the show?
No, they'll find something else to complain about.
I hope they lose.
I called him.
You couldn't fly to his house, tough guy?
I saw a picture, Michael. He once had facial hair. He shouldn't be on this team.
Hey, the Smashing Pumpkins are coming to PNC Bank Art Center on Thursday, August 24th, and Northwell Health at Jones Beach Theater on Wednesday, August 30th. Keep it locked in for your chance to score a pair of tickets. Brought to you by Live Nation. Tickets go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. Ticketmaster.com. I believe it's time for Drop Madness, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, baby. Drop Madness brought to you by Wendy's. Fresh never looks so square at Wendy's. Dave's single, now just a buck. When you want the best hamburger, square's the beef. Wendy's. Let's start off in the Flubs region, the three seed. Adolis Garcia with a solo shot. Blue Jays, Rangers, I should say, up 5-3.
4-3.
No, is it two run? Oh, it's 4-3 now?
They were down 3-2.
They were down 3. This is a big matchup because look what the three seed's up against in the 10.
Monica Nutt's been very good.
Nick Nutt. Wow.
Don.
There are some great. That's like the five slamma jamma.
Don, where do you lean in this matchup?
Oh, I lean with you.
You want the three seed?
Yeah, I want the three seed.
Michael, you prefer the three seed or the 10, the McNutt?
I like McNutt.
Of course. Okay.
I like that drop too.
Let's go to the funny region, the six seed.
Don LaGreca's House of Hot Dogs. 1-800-EAT-ME.
And it's almost like a mirror image in this match. I've never seen a more even matchup up against the 10 seed.
Dehydrated my ass.
It's like the same drop in different ways.
Right. The hot dog one's going to win.
Yeah, hot dog. It's got more. There's more depth there.
Yeah. So
and, of course, the troubling region's all me, the 3 seed.
I keep touching it. I don't know why I'm getting excited.
Up against the 7 seed.
You want a little Don and Dick action?
That's the theme matchup.
Yeah, that one's very, very themed. Then we go to the... Oh, this is... You know what? Anthony, this is a Friday night, 7:37. See, you know what? I might on Friday even put this at the 9:30.
They were fighting for the matchups.
This is such an incredible matchup in the nether region. The 2 seed.
Now, you were born in Yonkers. How long did you stay in New York?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Please lose, please.
Up against the 3 seed.
I'm not a creepo. You're a creepo. So I didn't know that the mic was on?
No. That's a drop
that
you accidentally, or someone, I assume you, accidentally hit during
the call.
So it's a drop of a drop.
It's a drop of a drop during Cars for Kids.
Wow.
Of all the commercials.
Yeah. For the children. TMKS ESPN on Twitter. We need some votes for this. This needs to be a magical round with matchups like this. Go vote.
You know what we have coming on next? The Todd Father. Todd Frazier.
Ooh.
Yeah, he's a new member of the Yes Network crew, too.
I heard that.
Yeah. Pre- and post-game shows. And I think he'd do like once a month, something like that, easing him in slow.
Nice and easy.
Yeah. But we'll talk to Todd about his thoughts on the upcoming season. So stick around. I like McNutt.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy. Hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Yankee and Met fans both know Todd Frazier, played for both teams.
Sure,
right.
And quickly became a fan favorite, especially when he was with the Yankees with the thumbs down and all that. And now He's making the full transition to broadcasting. He's on something called Foul Territory. It's live on YouTube Monday through Friday, starting tomorrow from 1 to 3, because they don't want to go up against our show, which starts at 3. And the podcast is available wherever you listen to podcasts. You have A.J. Pierzynski, Eric Kratz, Adam Jones, Scott Braun, and Todd Frazier. They're the hosts, with Ken Rosenthal making regular appearances. And Foul Territory already has 30-plus players and managers making appearances, including Aaron Boone. So we welcome in Todd Frazier. Todd, it's Michael, Don, and Peter. How you doing?
Good, yeah. We definitely don't want to mess around with your time slot. We'd have no audience, so we made sure of that.
Now, when you were playing, Todd, did you think, you know, the second half of my career is going to be in broadcasting, or is this just something that came about?
It's something I've always wanted to do, being analyst work, broadcasting, working with the team. But, you know, did I ever think it would happen? No, I always wanted to play baseball and let the pieces fall as they may. And now an opportunity came up. I'm going to be doing at least 20 games, pre and post game, at the studio there. And what's better than talking Yankee baseball, man? It's going to be a fun time for me, and hopefully this opens up the door for other things.
You know, you remember Ray Lucas, right? Rutgers kid, and you know, played in the NFL. Yep. And I worked with him, and he said when he retired, he couldn't stomach watching a football game. Like, he missed it too much. Was it difficult to transition away? Did you need a little downtime before you were able to jump back in and be able to broadcast?
No, not at all. Not at all. I kind of knew, you know, when I got picked up by the Pirates, I was kind of getting moved back and forth. They were kind of giving me the wraparound, not telling me what's going on. I'm like, all right, well, kind of nearing my career here. And then I got a call after I got released to play in the Olympics. And after we won the silver medal, I kind of felt that this was probably it for me, because I didn't get picked up by anybody else. And then eventually when it was over, it was great, man. I'm coaching my oldest son, 9 years old, with his Southsider travel team. We won our first tournament last week. And, you know, I'm coaching 3 different little league teams. So I'm trying to be the dad here and helping out my daughter in gymnastics as much as I can. So it's a lot of work, but I wouldn't change it for the world.
All right, so Todd, it's interesting. You played on the Olympic team that won a silver medal, and, you know, I was not a big fan of the WBC, but toward the end, they had me. The games were riveting. But the thing that I was puzzled about, a lot of players said winning the WBC is a bigger deal to them than the World Series. I don't quite get that, but you did play with USA across the chest. Is it close to, you know, playing in a World Series or wanting to win a World Series?
I would agree with them, to be honest. Playing for your country, there's no single thing greater, to be honest with you, in my opinion. As a baseball player, you put the USA on your chest or wherever you're from. You see the electricity of the crowd. I think it's just as good, to be honest with you, because how many people can say they played for their country and played on biggest stage, playing against the best players in the world? But I also do see the other side of it, because you want to win a World Series. That's first and foremost. As a youngster, you dream about, you know, hitting that walk-off home run in the World Series. But playing for your country, I mean, you saw Mike Trout. He said it's the single most greatest thing I've ever done in baseball in my life. And he's never been to a World Series. I get that. But still, hearing that from the greatest player in baseball, you know, it bodes well.
All right, how do you feel about all these changes in baseball with the rules?
Yeah, I like most of them, man. I like how it's speeding up the game. The shifts, I'd still probably be playing a little longer if there was no more shifts, because those C&I singles weren't happening anymore. So for me, I love it. There's going to be a lot more hits. There's going to be a lot more stolen bases. I don't like how some guys are trying to manipulate. Oh, man, I could quick pitch, do this or that as pitchers. You know, as a hitter, it's kind of like, you know, let's stick to one thing. But, you know, rules are the rules. You can try and do what you got to do. So the only problem I have, if I could change one thing, would be, well, two things would be never to end a game on something like this, or like you're not being able to throw a pitch on a certain time. All right, well, you walk the guy in. I don't agree with that. And then when the playoffs start, get rid of it, because people love watching baseball when it's playoff time. Make sure everybody has the time they need, and let's play regular baseball.
Yeah, I don't hate that idea. Do you agree with the idea, Michael, you said this a few months ago on the show, that with the pitch clock, it kind of automatically shifts the pitcher to a position of power because they can control the tempo of an at-bat?
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of what I was at before. It's like, hey, listen, you know, I think Nestor did it the other day. Yep. Cortez did it the other day. And then he actually took about 10 seconds on the mound in the air waiting to pitch. So if you're allowed to do it, you might as well. But at the same time, they do. They do have power. And they, you know, we'll see how it happens during the season, if any changes will be made. But as of now, nothing is going to be changed.
All right, so you've lived it. You know, kid from Toms River, played for the Mets and the Yankees. Are you watching Anthony Volpe and kind of, you know, say, yeah, I know what he's going through? Is it difficult to play in front of your home crowd, or is it easier?
Yeah, anybody from New Jersey, as you know, I'm going to watch very much so. I'm proud of this young man. He came out gangbusters in spring training. He's got a lot on his shoulders, man, because guess what? Not only is he playing in front of the best crowd in the world, he's going to have people calling him left and right, people he's never heard of from years. Hey, man, can I get a ticket? You know, what are you doing after the game? Why haven't you called me back, man? You know, I've done all this. He's going to get it from all different angles, and that's the stuff he's going to have to try and figure out. Listen, there's time for me to do my text messages, do my calls, and there's time for baseball, and he's got to put 100% effort into the game, especially his first year, because you guys know New York baseball will eat you up and chew you out if you're not ready for it.
How do you feel about this Yankees team?
I feel good. I mean, I felt great before. Now the injuries, I'm kind of feeling good right now.
Right.
I was really excited about Carlos Rodon coming over. I played with him with the White Sox. He's an absolute bulldog. You guys are going to love him every 5 days once he's healthy. You know, Ronnie Marinaccio is doing a great job. Michael King coming in the end there. Once we're all healthy, I think it's going to be an exceptional year. And if we can – and I say we as I'm still playing, which is great. But if they can kind of stay around 500 this first month and, you know, kickstart their basically, second half, but second month season and get going once everybody's healthy, I think they're going to be just fine.
Todd, I guarantee Flip and Jared will break you of we. You will not be saying we after one show.
Good, that's fine.
and you have any thoughts on the Mets?
Go ahead.
Any thoughts on the Mets?
I think they're going to be good, too.
Yeah,
I think they're going to be good. Edwin Diaz hurts. I think that back of the end hurts. I know they have David Robertson, who's done it before. But Dave is a little older. He's not, you know, he's definitely not throwing as harder with that cutter, but he's a good friend of mine. He's going to do just well. And they got the hitters. So if they hit with the two top dogs with Scherzer and Verlander there, I think they're going to be pretty good, too. It's going to be a fun year in New York again, I think, for sure.
I have to ask you a dad question. So my son's 8, your son is 9, and you're coaching him.
Yeah.
Can you tell with your expert eye if your son has it?
Yes, for sure.
You can?
Yeah, I most definitely. You know, he's there. If we're talking about my son, he's there. He has a lot of work to do. He has to gain some power. That's the biggest thing at that age. There's kids that are hitting the ball to the fence already. He's not there yet, but he plays a really good defense. He's a good pitcher. Does he have the potential? Yeah. But we'll see as he gets older once he develops more power.
Does he love it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I started a new team this year because he was playing up in his age. So he was 8 playing with 9s, and he was a real young 8 because he just turned 9 this month. And he struggled, you know, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what, I'm going to start a team with your age group. And we had our first ever tournament. And boom, we beat everybody pretty convincingly. And the smile on his face made it that much better for me. That's all I could ask for.
Now, I know he's still like, it's still early on. He's a little kid. But do you get pretty nervous watching him play?
Oh, my God, it's the worst thing in the world.
I'd
rather be playing. It's terrible because you want him to do good. You want him to have fun. And this is it's really nerve-wracking. I never do. But, you know, I get on him a little more than I get on the other kids. So I got to ease back just a little bit.
Yeah, my 5-year-old son has his first game Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. So I guess I'm going to experience those butterflies for the first time.
Without a doubt. And it's all of a sudden you turn into a new person. You're like, what the hell's going on here? So it's kind of funny at the same time.
All right, so you've convinced me, Todd. I'm moving to Jersey so you could coach my son Charlie, all right?
All right, bring him up. I got a spot for him, no problem.
All right, sounds good. So glad to be part of the team with you, joining Yes for those 20 games on the pre and post. You'll have a great time with Bob and Jack, and good luck with the Foul Territory podcast as well. So good to talk to you, Todd.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
You got it. That's Todd Frazier. I think he's going to do very well. Obviously, in this business, he's opinionated and has that kind of New York sound to his voice, New Jersey sound. So I think he's going
to
be good.
I always liked him, honestly. And I like the way he played. He's a fun guy to talk to. He's going to be a real interesting listen to break down these games.
He was also one of my favorite players. He reminds me of me.
He reminds you of you.
Yeah, hear me out. Now, there's a big difference. He was actually a valuable player.
Right.
But he reminded me of like, he was a heart and soul guy of every team that he was on. Whether it was the Yankees or the Mets, mm-hmm. he was sort of that guy. The real kind of clubhouse guy you want at all times to keep a team focused, energized.
And that was you in high school, right?
That's right. You were the glue. I was the glue. Uh-huh. Rosie was the glue.
Uh-huh.
I wasn't playing as much as he did.
But you were the glue.
But I was still the glue.
Yeah.
I maintain I could be valuable on a professional team right now.
Just by being glue.
Just by the energy that I bring.
Interesting.
The positive approach.
Why don't you talk to Boone? And you know what? Pinstripes are very slimming.
That is true. They're not horizontal stripes.
No.
It's a good thought.
Don has something that he wants to get off his chest, which we will do just a moment. This might actually lead Peter to some kind of red face rant.
You think so?
I think it's got a chance.
Just let it be. It's got to be organic.
No, I'm right,
don't
just
make
saying
any predictions. Don't poke the bear.
I'm not poking. I said it could be.
I'm right. You're wrong. Go to hell.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
They're talking about the NFL flexing the final 3 weeks of Thursday Night Football.
Right.
Flexing.
You're not a fan.
No, because it's ridiculous. It's stupid.
Tell me why.
You print money.
Me?
The NFL.
Oh, the NFL.
All right? And they're getting massive deals from Amazon and all that, you know. So the idea is, well, they care more about the 20 million people watching than the 70, 80,000 people that attend the games.
They certainly do.
Well, why don't you care about the true fans? Because the people that buy tickets and extorted for PSLs and have to pay between 35 and 50 bucks to park and 13 bucks for a hot dog and 20 bucks for a beer, those are the real fans of football. The people that go. And I'm just tired of them being disrespected all the time and not cared about. You're getting money from television. Hand over fist, Peter. Hand over fist.
I'm going to disagree.
And now you're going to tell somebody, let me finish.
Go ahead.
That decides he wants to go to a Sunday game. Especially like Jet fans, where half of their fan base is coming from Suffolk County. To tell them an important game in the season. You're a season ticket holder. Paying PSLs to sit in the lower bowl. Paying all kind of money for tolls and gas and 35 bucks to park, that I can't go to an important game. Because you know what? There's a big difference between flexing from Sunday afternoon to Sunday night than the flexing from Sunday to Thursday night. Now I can't go.
I agree with how annoying it is if you are a season ticket holder or someone who goes to games. Here, feel me on this one, though, Michael. I disagree with one point Don made.
Okay.
Don said those are the real NFL fans. I don't agree, and the NFL obviously doesn't agree. They're a portion of the NFL fans. They are the ones who love the live NFL experience for the most part. The season ticket holders want to go out 8 times a year and start in a parking lot at 9 a.m. and be there all day. But you have a solid, you know, every single game in this league is a solid 10 to 15 million people watching who watch every single week and are hardcore football fans.
Okay, they're hardcore football fans.
So why would you worry, with all due respect, business-wise, with the 70,000 per stadium?
I really believe that Al Michaels has something to do with this because I've heard from several people who's miserable.
Well,
he has a direct line to Roger Goodell.
Get somebody else. You do yourself a favor.
Well, listen to
it's
John Mara.
Enough to do it
John
anymore.
Mara I agree is there. Lockstep with you. Here's John Mara, the Giant owner.
Our season ticket holders, to people who fill our stadiums every week. People have gotten used to going from Sunday afternoon to Sunday night. That doesn't mean that they like it. This year, we can be flexed to Monday night, which I think is really inconsiderate to our ticket holders. But to flex a game back to Thursday night, to me, is just abusive. and I am adamantly opposed to it. I think it didn't get enough votes today, but he'll probably revisit it in May.
It looks good for him. That's Mara at a 7. You don't want to see him at a 10.
Right.
Okay.
Things get crazy. I know I'm going to be in the minority because you're literally talking about the majority of people watching on television as opposed to the people that go. But it is the lifeblood of your fan base, the people that pay money to go see your team play live. You've extorted them for PSLs, an outrageous amount of money for parking, and they go and they love the experience of going, and they're just completely being forgot about.
But the lifeblood is television money.
They're not getting it, Michael?
No, but they probably had some kind of tacit agreement with Amazon. Let's do 1 year, and then we'll start to flex toward the end. I bet.
The ratings are still great. We make fun of a lousy matchup, and it still gets 10, 12 million people watching. It's ridiculous. I understand businesses that do things, sports that do things, because I'm not making very much here. I want to make more. They're making a ton of money. It's ridiculous. When do you just stop abusing the fans that really care? Buying it, I'm sorry, I understand that they're in the minority. You're only talking about 70, 80,000 people. But it's still people that have had season tickets for years. You've done everything possible to make it awful to go to these games to begin with, how slow it is when you go, how you won't let them watch other games when they're there because you won't let them have the NFL Sunday ticket. But they still go because they love their team. And if I wanted it, if I'm a Giant fan, Giant fans are usually skew a little older. You know, that's why Mara's trying to defend it. Of not doing it, and Jet fans who have to come from all different places. You know, if I'm going to take Marco to a game late in the season, if it gets shifted to Thursday, we're not going.
Mm-hmm. It's so true. I will say I totally agree with that. That is such a bummer.
And here's the part that's not even being discussed that much. Players hate Thursday Night Football. Hate it.
Well,
it's tough on their body. And Goodell goes, well, our research shows that you don't get hurt that much on...
You want to play on a Thursday? You want a short turnaround, and then all of a sudden you get flexed to it? You don't think that could be an advantage for a team that's not flexed?
Yeah, you're right.
In a battle for a division?
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.